Nerdist Podcast Network.
The network children ask for by name.
The Defenestrate Media Network.
From cradle to grave, every moment of your life is one word after another, overlapping all the words from all of those who've crossed your path in a never-ending cycle of tale and experience. There are no prizes, no contests, no rules and no boundaries. Just a few minutes spent exchanging the narrative from moments of our own human existence. Welcome to Tell Me a Story.
All right.
Okay.
Time for part three.
But listen, we are so woke now. We are dyed in the wool, gender feminist now.
You know what's weird?
Oh, such a dick.
Is at the time, we were as well.
What?
For the time.
For the time we were sensitive males?
I was a sensitive ponytail boy.
All right.
You were, look.
I was an oversensitive old man. How's that?
Well, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, for the both of us, it's as far as the women went.
Yes.
It wasn't misogyny. It wasn't inequality. It was boobs. You know? I mean, that's, I go back and I think over these, and with a couple of exceptions of my behavior post-relationship.
Yes.
You know, I don't believe I disrespected any of them in a way that would cause me a Me Too problem now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm probably wrong.
All right.
Probably wrong, but at no point.
Oh, they'll tell you.
Oh, sure.
They'll
oh, sure. Well, that's okay. So we mentioned a friend of ours, Michelle, who played with the band for a little while. We're going to talk about her playing in the band here
and her Artemis deity.
I sent her a friend request on Facebook.
Yes. Oh, no.
That has been not accepted yet.
Well, yeah.
And all I put in there is, hey, it's Jeff. I know I owe you an apology for more than one occasion.
Yeah.
And then sent it.
I sent one that said, I'm trying to make amends nowadays. I owe you $200. And there was nothing.
Do you think she found Jesus?
No, I think she found Artemis. And Artemis is telling her, cut the toxic people out of your life. And Mike,
I'm not toxic.
Oh, you're toxic.
What?
You're not now.
Okay. Yeah, I am. I'm goddamn poisonous now.
Wait. And then I would like to amend an earlier comment.
Okay.
I said, that girl has big boobs like my wife. And that's the first thing I said to you. And then you thought that was a quirky thing to say. But we have been deleterious.
Did you say this last week or did you say this?
Long time ago. A couple weeks ago. I said that.
I have no memory.
At the UVCC.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's a very long time ago. I have refreshed my memory.
There we go. See, you got hit with the car and all that. It comes back.
It a little bit.
But we have been dilatorious in our handling of the Dave situation.
Well, we did. We had a guy named Dave.
And you were all working. Joey, Dave, Jeff were all working busboys at the...
Good friends.
Good friends. Okay.
They're on Colfax.
Yeah.
And Dave lived a couple blocks up the street.
Yes.
And we never moved in with Dave, but we would spend time there.
Yes.
Because Dave always had at least a 12-pack of Rolling Rock in his fridge.
Bless him.
Yeah. And Dave bought a bass.
Well, you convinced him, hey, you got to buy a bass because we're putting this band together and Darla's going to sing for us and you got to buy a bass.
There are, as we go.
Yes.
This was post-Darla.
All right.
There are times in my life where I make assumptions.
Yes.
Based on not enough information.
as do I.
Yeah. One of those is. And I've done this with being a barista,
yeah.
With being a bouncer,
yes.
You know, and playing the bass.
Uh huh.
Is any fucking monkey can do it given enough opportunity and time to practice?
That is not the case.
It is not the case.
Oh, God bless him! But he did buy a cool bass. He says, "Yeah, I'm," and we tried him out, and it just didn't happen. No. We said, "No, I got a cool bass. So I'm gonna play some jazz."
Okay.
But the story about Dave was that he came down with this. We used to play down on Larimer Street.
Uh-huh.
Get some tips.
We'd panhandle.
In a sense, except we were performing. We were performing for our thing instead of just asking.
Per panhandling. Panforming.
So we'd go down there a few nights when we were getting short of gas money, which I did buy when I had the money. And then Jeff would need it as camels because you decided on camels.
Yeah, at that point in my life, I decided that the generic product cigarette,
yes,
GPCs.
Yes.
Well, I can't kill myself with garbage.
Right. If you're going to kill yourself, you might as well do it right.
We used to play down the street on Larimer Square. We used to play in front of the Ann Taylor.
In front of Ann Taylor's after it was closed.
And so as you're looking around, you have Ryder Square.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Across the street. And then down a couple, you had Cadillac Ranch.
Oh, so many bars there we would have loved to play in if we had had any talent or a demo or anything.
Right. And we didn't.
We did not.
No. So we would play in front of the Ann Taylor.
Yeah.
Because big women are where it's at.
Are they big?
That's what Ann Taylor sells.
No.
They sell plus-size garments.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure.
All right.
I don't know for sure because I've
now
never bought
any. Now they're going to come down on you.
What's the...
Now they're going to go all Me Too on you.
For that? Well, I'm getting off easy.
Oh, sorry. I'm just so sorry. We're woke. We're woke now.
Yes, I am woke.
All right.
I woke. It's about 4:15 this morning.
Ugh.
And had some coffee and then went to work. So there was a night, and yes. we had, there were drunk folks and my anathema of fucking harmonica players that would just pop up out of nowhere and be like, hey man, get a jam. And it's like, no, if we wanted a harmonica, we'd have our own fucking harmonica.
I'll just take a third of there, whatever you got there.
Blues Traveler?
No.
No, no, I'm saying, and that's about it. No,
Blues Traveler, that's it.
Bob Dylan. Who else is pretty good with their little mouth organ?
Not
Bono. And we say that knowing how much I worship the man.
And not Alanis. Not Alanis.
Well, she's God. She can do whatever she wants.
She totally is. And
yeah. Dogma.
But you're being, making a reference. To being.
Yeah.
That is not necessarily Alanis. But was represented by Alanis in a movie.
If Alanis Morissette knocked on the door right now and said, hey, Jeff, I'm God, eh?
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay.
All right. Cool, cool, cool. Then we're all good. Then you're no longer an atheist.
Yeah. Not at all.
I'll just give her a ring.
If Alanis Morissette tells me to worship at her feet, I'll do it.
All right. Because you do things.
As long as that, she.
That attractive girls, women tell you to do.
Not even that.
Right.
Just women tell me to do. So, anyway.
This one particular night.
The harmonica players.
Yes.
No, I'm still on this.
Oh, all right.
they were a scourge against good taste. They were, all they did just pop up and it'd be like, they wouldn't even have a harmonica in the key we would play shit in.
Right, right, right.
It's like, who the fuck goes to play blues harmonica with a C?
Right.
Harmonica.
Yeah, okay? There's only
e
one
or
song.
It's A.
And it's, you get up in the morning, you hear the ding dong, let the midnight special. That's the only song in C in the history of recorded music.
I'm going to go ahead and believe you.
All right, then.
Because I don't have enough information to argue.
But a C harp works on that one.
Shine a light on me.
Live the midnight special. Shine ever loving light on me. Written by Lead Belly.
Yes.
And covered by CCR.
Lead Belly, who was brother to Iron Lung.
Oh, that's a little obscure.
Jethro Tull.
Aqualung.
Aqualung. Damn it. That would have been fucking awesome if I'd got that right. It's been a long time. By the way, it's had a flautist popped up to want to play with us. I would have been fine with a flautist or a harp slinger.
Uh-huh.
But no, it's these goddamn fucking harmonicas.
So this one particular night.
Yes.
It was good. Good crowd. Good tips. And I was just playing probably a U2 song as we played quite a number of U2 songs. You were on a smoke break. A guy comes up, long hair, glasses. Says, I will give you $50 if you can play a seventh chord. I said, really? I guess I wasn't playing a seventh chord. I was being lazy on a blues song or something like that, which is, you know, that's a, oh, it wasn't in that song.
No, but this is what, I think this is what you were playing.
We probably were playing that. He said, I will give you $50 if you can play a seventh chord or a ninth chord. I said, whoa, I don't know ninth chords, I don't know. But here's the seventh chord, skang. Yes, I am sure it was a the G7. I'm sure it was. And he said, okay, I'll take it. And he got a 50 out of his billfold, and he sat and put it in my teeth. Then he came around behind me and started showing me how to do
ninth chords.
And it is my feeling because
you have a suspicion. You have a theory.
I have an idea that Toto was playing that night.
Toto.
I bless the rains down in Africa, as well as really good songs.
Not to be mistaken with Weezer.
No. Well, Weezer also covered that.
Weezer fucking nailed. Make no mistake.
And so I think it was the drummer from Toto walking down the street, a handful of cash, sees some poor ass musician on the street and says, okay, I'll give him $50 if he can play a seventh chord. And he would have given it to me anyway.
My memory of that,
yes,
was that the 50 hit the change.
Oh, yeah.
We shut the box and fucking left.
No. He showed me some chords. I remember this because it was a little unusual for me at the time to have a teacher behind you,
yeah,
showing you chords. I happen to remember that, and I don't think anything inappropriate was going on.
By
in
which
his
I
mind.
Mean, he left.
Yes,
we left.
Oh yeah.
Because you're like,
and then
beer.
But the thing is, Dave was with us.
Was he?
Yeah. He was sitting there on one of my things, and he said. And I said, well, that's $50. That's something we can get some strings. We can get some gas money. We can get some new tires and all this kind of stuff. And Dave says, or we can go to the Wazzy Supper Club and get some pizza. So we went down to the Wazzy Supper Club and we had a lot of pizza and Newcastle ales. Quite a lot of those. And tasty.
I still love those.
And the pizza was great. And I don't know if the Wazzy Supper Club is still there, but at the time, we always used to go out to it after I had a creative writing class down at the Metro. And we'd always go to the Wazzy Supper Club. Oh, we're looking it up now. Wazzy. But it's all gentrified down there. Some of the things lasted, I imagine. Mark's.
Permanently closed.
What a drag.
Very big drag.
Well, you can't go there anymore. Can you go to my brother's bar still? Because I think they still have a picture of Jack Kerouac up on my brother's bar.
I could do my brother's bar and not my brother's bat.
Oh, that's probably, yeah, my brother's bar. Is it good?
It's
is it
still
open? Right on. Go to my brother's bar and get some Newcastle ale and the best burgers in Denver. And maybe they still have a picture of Jack Kerouac up.
So, I spend a lot of my nostalgia. I don't get nostalgic for Minnesota.
Minnesota.
You know, I was there almost 3 years.
Wisconsin.
Yeah. No.
You went to Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Okay. Now, the boots are from Minnesota.
They are also from Minnesota.
Okay,
yes.
Then. Okay.
I was not going in search of my boots. I don't believe that Darla took my boots to Minnesota. I went to Minnesota for a girl.
But Red Wings are a Minnesota company, which used to have Al Franken as a senator.
Yeah. Then he got lied about, railroaded, and pushed out of office.
No, he resigned because he actually did the things that he was accused of. And instead of lying, he said, oh, yeah, I did those.
Well, there were a bunch of them where he's like, I don't remember doing that, but, you know, if you say so, and I'll go. Uh-huh. And now investigation has turned out that most of those were false. There was the one in the cargo plane where he was pretending to grab her boobs.
Yeah.
I don't think that's resign worthy.
Picture.
Yeah. And then there was one that a lady said that he grabbed her ass during a photo shoot.
Whoa.
you know?
I wouldn't have the cojones for that. But it turned out that it wasn't true anyway.
Most of them were not true. A couple of them were.
All right.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's left show shit.
That, oh, sorry. So, you've gotten political. Oh, God. Political.
I do. I mean, I miss parts of Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah.
I miss parts of St. Paul.
Yeah.
Brit's Pub in Minneapolis, I miss almost weekly. They just had a London broil and they had hard cider and they just went so perfect together. It's where Emily taught me to put vinegar on my French fries.
Excellent.
Kind of
idea.
Sometimes brown vinegar. It's got to be a good brown vinegar.
Right. Malt.
Yeah. You know, and I spent a little time in Seattle. I spent a little time in Portland. Not a lot, just a little.
Mm-hmm.
And I love both those towns. I would happily move to any of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never been to Spain.
Oh, shut it.
But I kind of like the music.
I've never been to Spain.
So, but Colorado.
Denver.
Rocky Mountain High.
Area.
Yeah, in the Denver area, especially Colfax over.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the time that we spent there. Barbarossa's. I remember there was a night. There was a night at Barbarossa's where we were playing as a band. So it was me and you, and Joey was there. I don't remember who was playing bass for us, but it was probably Ryan.
Probably Ryan.
And I was sitting in the audience, and we were going on second or third.
All right.
And we were going to do four or five songs.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there just before anything starts. And I want to think it was Skip, but it might have been somebody else. Walked up to me and said, "Open your mouth." And I did.
Yeah.
And they threw LSD in.
I doubt it was Skip. Skip was clean, clean, clean. Clean gene.
That doesn't mean that he wouldn't find it and do it for fun. He might not do it himself. But I think you'd see the comedy in it. No, I don't remember who it was. I just remember very clearly somebody saying, "Open your mouth." My brain saying, "Don't open your mouth." And me going, "Ah." And then flicking it in there. And I was, "What was that? Oh, my God. I'll be fine."
All right, fine. We only got four or five songs.
Yeah. And the start was delayed. First band went over. Second band went over.
Oh.
And then we get up there and I am...
You're on your way.
Tripping balls.
All right.
And in my head, and having talked to a couple of people that were there that night,
yeah,
I played a very good rendition of the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember this night?
No.
Okay. And... Had I played a horrible one, you'd remember it.
Oh, yes.
But I can't play the Star Spangled Banner. Oh. To this day, I can't play it. But that night, I did.
You had the ghost of Jimmy with you.
Something.
Yeah.
I might have been high and overconfident, and my fingers pulled it off.
Or maybe.
Is how I do. But I remember that we played that night, and then we all tromped out, loaded the gear in my postal Jeep.
Yeah, we forgot the postal. Oh, the postal Jeep. Oh, it gives me anxiety just thinking about it.
A little further.
How many times is it going to break down? I don't know.
So many.
Yes.
So bad in the snow.
Yes.
So much gas drinking.
But it was all white. It was a reformed postal Jeep.
Yeah, and we spray painted it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, named it Little Further. And then I proceeded to drive the wrong way up 13th.
Oh, no.
Four or five blocks. And you sitting, now I'm on the right side because it's a right side, right-hand drive.
Right.
And you're on the left side.
Yeah.
And we're driving. And you're like, "You sure you're okay to drive?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you aware you're going the wrong way on 13th and have been for several blocks?"
Did I say that?
It's so cold.
Was
calm.
I very cold?
Very cold.
Oh, well,
and I said,
that's a change.
Oh, shit. And then did another two blocks, and you're like, "Would you like to turn?"
Oh.
I said, "That's a great idea." And turned off.
Right up there by Pete's Kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh, Pete's Kitchen's closed. Man, are we old.
Oh, it's still open.
No.
They shut it down after Pete died?
Pete's Kitchen, yeah.
No, they didn't.
No, look it up. No.
I'm looking it up.
The best Euro omelets in history. In the history of Hero omelets.
Well, what it was, is he still open?
Okay. Maybe it's somebody else.
The breakfast Euro sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And it was three eggs on top of Euros, on top of a big pita.
Yeah.
Then it came with a side of their home fried taters. You know, their home fries. And you could get that with red meat chili on it, which was so fucking good. And that is how we would feed ourselves.
In the middle of the night after gigs.
Yeah.
Every time.
When we had money.
If a gig
we're not
made
going
money.
There after the Euphrates. It's not.
If we had money, going to Pete's.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of living in the old Further Manor, which is also near Pete's Kitchen.
Over on 17th.
Yes.
And Gaylord.
And our... say it. Go ahead and say it.
Gaylord.
No, just say it. Say it like you mean it.
Sort of living on Gaylord.
There you go,
sweetie.
Now, see, we're so woke. We're not woke.
Oh, not at all.
No,
but I don't stare anymore.
Yeah.
Unless I'm wearing sunglasses.
All right.
That's polite. And then I always pretend to turn my head a little, so I'm not...
Okay.
Wow. Sunglasses are very important.
It's evolutionary. I don't know what to do about it. I'll work on it.
I choose not to stare. Uh-huh. I mean, I really do. I will glance.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, whereas I used to, I would gawk.
Uh-huh.
I no longer gawk. And I don't know if that's because I'm a creepy old man now, or, you know, I've reached some milestone where I stopped doing it.
Oh, cool.
But when I would pass a pretty girl on the sidewalk, I used to just look, and I would turn and keep looking.
Uh-huh.
I would sometimes pop off with a, holy shit, you are very, very pretty, or you're beautiful, or you're stunning, something.
Oh, they don't like the cat calls.
Not, woo, babe, show me your tits. I would never do that.
All right.
Never do that.
All right.
But, you know, I did it. I actually did it the other day. I came walking out of work and almost ran into this lady who was legit drop dead stunning.
Yeah.
Like Kate Beckinsale kind of.
Oh.
You know.
All right.
And I just froze like a fucking rabbit. Oh. She's like, oh, excuse me. And I'm like, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Is what
yeah.
You had to say.
Okay. Yeah. Took two steps back. Waved her on, m'lady, kind of bullshit. And she's just, she knows what's going, she knows that I am, there's no way you can be that pretty and not know the effect that you have on big, dumb dipshits like me.
Uh-huh.
I turned crimson. I'm like, sorry, so sorry. You go first.
Well, we are not going to solve that condition or behavior for the world within this 1 hour, although it might happen someday.
So, this is where it all gets jumbled for me.
All right.
When I start getting nostalgic for Denver.
Yes.
And, I mean, I got out there. My first gig was at Paris on the Platte.
Yes.
That was my first place where I worked.
Yes.
I was a dishwasher.
Kept you busy till 4 a.m.
Yeah. It was awful. And it was run.
But it was cash.
Yeah. By this little Frenchman named Sahil.
And oh, Cyril, you didn't like him.
Sahil's little joke was to sneak up behind me because he weighed nothing and go, how are you doing with the dishes? And I would go, fuck, and drop them. And he's like, every dish you break, we take out of your paycheck. Ha ha, baguette.
He said, ha ha, baguette.
Oh, they all like do. That. That's okay. How French people
say.
Oh,
all right. Oh,
right. Baguette.
You're going to get calls from French people.
Now. I don't care. Please send me some brie and dairy butter.
That's
and
that's Holland.
A baguette.
A baguette?
It's French. It's you put the brie
yeah.
and the butter
yeah.
in a baguette, and then you eat it. It's a sandwich.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's French. French. Anyway, Cyril, I don't think Cyril liked me. Why else would you do that night after night after night is sneak up behind somebody and yell in their ear? You know? And he weighed nothing.
He was little. He was a little fellow.
But Danielle, Inez, Kiri, Jane.
Yeah.
Other people whose names I don't remember worked there.
Peter.
Peter Gagnon worked there.
Uh-huh.
Everett worked there.
Oh, yeah.
They were both baristas, as I recall.
Uh-huh.
And so Sarah was a manager. These guys were the baristas. I didn't really know the day squad. John was one of the day guys.
Uh-huh.
He's the one who ended up dating Megan after I did.
Oh.
That she overheard me saying I was going to tear his arms off and treat him like a puppet. I was just blowing off some steam.
Right.
You know, I had violence issues at the time. I think we discussed that in the first part.
You're not a pacifist?
I practice. I'm just not good at it. Or like, I could pass a fist right through it. I know that was bad, but so it gets confused for me. Like you telling the story in part two where you got mad about the pasta salad.
And
the part that you don't know about that was I had brought you back some pasta salad.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, see, and, how considerate.
You and I had had, at some point, a discussion about how I didn't like pasta salad.
Uh-huh.
And you had told me that it was good.
Uh-huh.
We were at a thing, and there was food, and I wouldn't eat the pasta salad.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember. It could have been in a big Tupperware in your mom's kitchen. I don't remember that.
Uh-huh.
But we had had a talk about it. So I was thinking I was being cutesy and clever.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I was being insensitive and not reading the room.
Well, I mean, if I had communicated, you know, I didn't have.
Yeah, but
I expect everybody to read my mind at that point. And you said that Ryan quit the band because working with me was an exercise in confusion.
That's true.
That is a quote.
That's true.
Exercise in confusion, and that is the truth.
That was the truth.
I was a mess. I was like, oh, yeah, I can manage this band. Oh. I know every damn thing. All you got to do is play gigs. Play gigs and don't get paid. Woohoo!
Tuesdays at Euphrates.
But we were tight.
Oh, fuck. So, there's this girl.
Whoa.
Okay, so let me go back to employment and then we'll hit some women.
All right.
Let me take that back. We'll talk about some women.
All right.
Now, I had a crazy, hurtful, you know, self-flagellating crush on Kiri.
Oh, of course.
And she was really cool about letting me know that there was just not a shot.
Yeah.
And even with a couple of episodes years later, you know, she was always very kind about it. And not a lot of girls were.
No.
At the time. And so after that, I ended up getting a job at the Ogden, which is one of the landmark theaters out there.
Uh-huh.
I was making $4.75 an hour.
Oh.
But the Ogden was an artsy heart, because you remember the Mayan.
The Mayan, the Ogden.
The Ogden. And,
Esquire.
Right. And so I'm working at the Ogden, and they use coconut oil
uh-huh.
to make their popcorn.
Yes.
And real butter.
Right.
So one of the first things I did was steal a vat of coconut oil and steal a vat of butter. And for the year and a half I worked there, maybe not even a year, I don't remember, but I didn't have to buy any butter.
All right.
I came to like coconut oil.
All right.
So I did there, and then...
Yeah, I'm trying to find a link between coconut butter and Kiri. I'm searching it in my head.
None.
So I made popcorn for her, and she fell in love with me.
Well, no, when I got it through to me that Kiri and I were not to be star-crossed or otherwise, I moved on.
Except?
Huh?
Except?
No.
No?
No.
You're not going with that?
Nah.
All right.
No, like I said, there were a couple of question mark episodes years later.
All right.
Where I think perhaps...
At that point.
Had I not been such a fucking idiot.
Uh-huh.
I may have been able to pursue some sort of a relationship with her.
All right.
As far as I'm concerned, the stories where people are assholes are far more fun to tell. And she was a goddamn saint, so I'm not going to tell that story.
All right.
It's her story to tell.
All right.
But, and so anyway, I moved over to the Ogden. From the Ogden, I went over to Good Friends. From Good Friends, I went to Question Mark.
Uh-huh.
And it all starts to fall apart. But during all of this, we were playing music places.
Yeah.
And then we ended up at Further Manor on 17th and Gaylord.
Yes.
And there's this insanely pretty woman that lives across the hall.
With the Flying V guitar.
She had a Flying V Gibson.
Was pink.
Pink. Very pink.
And she played doodly doodly doo, doodly 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 doo.
I can play that.
Oh, you cannot.
Give me that guitar.
Not as good as Michelle.
Give me the dobro. Oh, no. She could do everything better than me.
That's the sound of old man reaching.
Is this still in an open G?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I can't do it with this
guitar. All right. Yeah, he can't do it with this guitar. That's it. He can't do it with Oh, here we go with the electric.
I don't know if you can hear this or not.
Pretty close, pretty close. No, you're a good guitarist.
This is,
I just
this
can't
is
stand
one
it.
Of those times
Why
where
did
I'm
we
like,
not play together for really the last 25 years.
Wish I edited. I'd pause, I'd go get the fucking guitar I can do it on. It's hard.
No, that was a, yeah, that's some good work. Anyway, so she played that. Lady, and then she sang it.
Yeah. No. Now, we're, of course, immediately enamored.
Yes.
She could sing really, really good.
Yes.
And we're all, join the band. Mm-hmm. She says, okay.
She did. She said, okay. And she got us all practicing and stuff like that. And then
you have to understand that up until that point, practice for us was a half an hour before we loaded the car for a gig.
Uh-huh.
You know, or we would work on a new song while sitting around drinking Miller Genuine Draft.
Yes.
Or just something like that. We were very passive about our rehearsal.
And I thought, and I'm thinking with my mismanagement of this group, I was thinking, oh, yeah, yeah, it tightens down really fast if you perform. All of a sudden, everybody's all really focused and it tightened, but really it just...
That might be true of other people.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
was not true of your band.
Oh, so, I just remember this one time trying to do the Sultans of Swing with Joey on the... And we finally got a gig at Soapy Smith's. I said, oh, okay, we can do the Sultans of Swing. And Joey was on the congas, and you were on the lead. And it was not only an exercise in confusion, it was a hellish exercise in confusion.
Oh, I can't imagine how bad that was. I mean, we just watched a little Knopfler a couple of minutes ago, and I cannot imagine how bad that was.
That was pretty bad. And then, but Mark Knopfler, you watch a video sometimes, and it just takes it out of you. You got no strength left. And It's like, whoa, that was it?
Yeah.
And he did Romeo and Juliet at the... At the
Looked
Road.
Like the Grand Old Opry.
What's that?
Looked at, was it?
Was it? It said it was Roadrunner Live.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So, Michelle was not going to go on stage with us unless we were rehearsed to death.
Yes.
And it was hours a day.
Yes.
This was now our job.
Right.
I mean, it was our job before, but before it was a fun job. It was like a startup. Uh-huh. Now we had a real job.
Uh-huh.
And we are practicing our asses off.
Uh-huh.
For weeks.
Uh-huh.
And we got good. We got really, really good. Now, you and Michelle and I, at your direction, I believe, are working out some three-part harmonies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good harmonies.
And you two, I mean, remember one argument you and I had.
I can't imagine that.
About the D minor in Dust in the Wind.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you were right. You were right. Lo these many years.
Do you really remember that?
No.
Okay. But I was right.
You were.
And it was just a bad day. We were all having a bad day. Uh-huh. Michelle was riding herd.
Uh-huh.
Tempers were a little hot.
Uh-huh.
Because Michelle was exacting, demanding, and perfectionist.
Yes.
And we were not. We tried. No.
No.
No. We tried.
Yeah.
And I think that we gave good. And then we did the first gig with her.
And she had to have a flask of
tequila.
Blackberry brand. No, blackberry tequila's brand. Tequila's Darla. Mm. She had to have a flask of blackberry brandy or else she wasn't going to go on. I said, oh, okay. I mean, that you know, I would have a beer or 12 before I went on. So
sure.
I'm like, cool. And so
but you were functional.
She was a mess during her first performance.
Stage fright.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, severe stage fright.
Everybody's got to have a first performance.
And that was at a gig. That wasn't Euphrates.
That was at the Rusty Nail out in Englewood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so she bombed.
Yep.
And there was crying.
Yeah.
And there was gnashing of teeth.
Oh.
Pulling of hair.
Yeah.
As I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And you masterfully... Built her back up, gave her back her confidence.
Uh-huh.
We go back into the living room with a further manner.
Yeah.
We practice our asses off some more.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack Kerouac.
Oh, yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah.
You learn this song
diddly,
for her.
Ding, diddly, yeah.
Yeah. And for her to sing. And we decide low pressure, second time out.
Uh-huh.
We go to Euphrates.
Yeah, we did Euphrates. We did a lot of Euphrates.
And she turned to Joey. and stared at Joey and would not turn around.
She didn't turn around.
She wouldn't turn around. She just got, and you're over there going, ding, 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 ding. And I'm over here playing a shitty lead. And then you sang the song.
It's a good song.
It's a great song.
It was worth playing. And too bad she didn't do it. I don't know. I don't know. But then here it is. She sang Tori Amos. Mm-hmm. She sang it to me, word for word. Here I'm standing naked before you. Don't you want more than my sex? She sang that to me.
Yeah.
I'm like,
not really.
All from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
I said, well, forget it. I'm going to move out on Terry, and I'm going to move in with Michelle. So I unpacked all my stuff from the basement at my parents' house, who were very suspicious, and rightfully so. I moved it up, and I moved into a closet at the Further Manor, moved it all in there, and that's when Michelle and I had a thing. Can I say that?
You can say that.
Am I going to be in big, big trouble when I get home?
We're not going to say her last name.
No, we will not.
And I was not planning on going there.
All right.
But I was going to do. But we had a girl in the band because we wanted a girl in the band.
And we played the alto.
Yes.
Are we going to do the alto now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Let's get over it. Let's take a break. All right. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to tell you about flying furniture.
I'm on my best behavior.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay. Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hello, sweetie.
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
Hello, little boys, little toys.
I'm a bunch of a-holes.
Guess who's back? Back again. Sweetie's back. Tell a friend.
That's right. Hello, Sweetie podcast is returning with brand new episodes starting August of 2019.
That's right. You heard that correctly.
You can hear us talk about so many things like tiny hats,
thimbles,
turtles,
your mom's house,
the internet,
tiny dogs,
a game you play on your TV,
tiny dogs wearing tiny hats,
little books,
cigarettes,
lots of small things.
What's with the small things?
Talking about the news in the movies,
TV,
the comic bookses,
music,
video gameses,
science, and more.
Find us everywhere you found us before. Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, the internet, and Google Play.
World's Backest Podcast.
Delamitri.
What? Oh, yeah, yeah, no. Wow! Where'd you bring that? You are killing me dead.
Worshipped the shit out of that band.
I'm killing myself, and yet you are enjoying plunging.
She liked that band the way you liked the band you named your first kid after.
Marillion.
Yes, not yeah. Clannad. Marillion.
Right. And then they have a song called Kaylee.
Yes.
Which is also Gaelic for dance.
Yes.
Yes. And we spell it, well, we spell it like the song. And it's a good song. And I said, well, if I have a kid, I'm going to name my kid that, boy or girl.
And then you did.
Yep. And so she liked Delamitri, and then there was that song. Oh, that song, it's killing me.
Be My Downfall. Be My Great Regret.
Oh.
Be the one girl that I'll never forget.
Oh, she did it. She did it to me.
Be My Undoing. Be My Slow Road to Ruin.
To ruin.
Tonight.
Oh.
But she taught me how to play that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a good song.
Here's the thing. No, if I cannot remember how to play it.
Oh, okay.
But I have looked it up. And then I forgot about Marillion. I've been just can't, but I remember now.
There's Kaylee.
Yeah. So I'm glad I have a friend at work named Kylie.
Oh.
He is a gentleman.
Oh.
With a girl's name.
Okay.
So I'm glad you had a daughter. Because right. Kaylee is a girl's name. And what's funny is that my first girl, Kyla.
Yeah.
Her name was supposed to be Kalak.
Oh.
Which is Kylagh.
Uh-huh.
You know, hard Gaelic
uh-huh.
G in there. And Brenda vetoed that.
Okay.
No hard G.
No hard G.
I just Kalak. Could imagine Kalak! Kalak!
You sound like you're clearing your throat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that was a water princess or river princess or something.
So we had the band going. The band was going. We were doing weekly shows. We were getting out. We were getting some gigs. We were getting some good gigs, and sometimes
some bad gigs.
Michelle was on, sometimes she was off,
yep.
But we were always plugging forward, okay? Mm-hmm. So she went down to the Cafe Alta and gave them a demo and said, would you please play the Cafe Alta? And so we did.
Now, the Cafe Alta was this insane little bar.
It was insane. And yeah. It was so long.
Yeah.
It was a long bar.
And it was tucked into the four corners of four buildings.
Yeah.
With an open courtyard.
Right.
And then these insane open stairways.
Uh-huh. All the way up.
All the way up.
Fire escapes.
So some shithead in the band.
You should see his grin.
Decided, you know what we should do?
What?
We should each pick a platform
of
on all of these four stairways. It turns out you can't hear anybody.
No, you can't hear anybody except everyone in the neighborhood can hear you.
Yeah.
And they called 750,000 times. Please tell those people to turn down. So we did. We turned down just so you know how much rock musicians are going to turn down. And, well, what were we? Folk rock musicians
are
going to turn down. So
they said, this gig is...
No, we're going to go inside. Okay, we have to go inside. Manager says, everybody load your stuff in inside. And we're going to do for Sunday brunch all the way to Sunday dinner. 6 hours.
It's a long fucking day.
And we had no clue. We thought, yeah, of course we can do 6 hours.
Let's do our 3 hours twice.
Right. Or our 2 hours with long solos, you know.
And breaks. That's three songs. We'll be back in 45 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, to tease your ears.
And Michelle had brought her friends.
Yep.
She brought a bunch of friends, said, I'm doing this thing. I'm impressed with this. I am endorsing it with my presence. So we went back and we played a long, long, long gig. At the beginning of the gig, I said, do we get any drinks or anything? He said, you get one drink for the whole thing. I said, okay, give me tequila. Well, my one shot of tequila, that's all I had. And then we played our U2 songs. We played our Jimi Hendrix songs. We played our blues, so many blues songs. We played the Southern Cross and the Chain. And for some reason, we made it almost 5 hours.
Yes.
And I sounded like a big pile of flaming shit on my guitar.
Well, okay, let's take a step back.
All right.
We tried being outside for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And finally got pulled inside.
Right.
We pulled inside. It's hot as balls in there.
It was hot.
And we are in a very small space,
uh-huh.
Which was weird. because it was such a long bar.
It was a long bar.
But they're like, you can have this 10 square feet of floor. And so we were all just right on top of each other. And the equipment was going fucking nuts. Your voice was, you were hoarse. I was hoarse. Dead.
Everybody was worn the hell out. Joey
lost like 8 pounds that just playing drums for that gig.
And breaking sticks.
Yeah. And at
Ryan
one
was
point,
still with it. No, Ryan was not.
I don't remember.
It was Tim, because Ryan quit.
Yeah.
And which deservedly so. Yeah. And then we got Tim Munyon to cover for us.
Okay.
And he was studying theory down at Metro. So he was pretty good.
I remember him.
Pretty good walker.
So there comes a point where the amp you're in is overheating.
Yes.
And it sounds to me like the speaker is about to tear itself.
And we used to play sometimes with broken strings that we didn't restring.
Right.
So you tune everything else. Say, okay, I'll just get through the song. We'll get through the set. We'll do this. So I was playing on broken strings.
Yep.
I sounded like I had a dragon in my throat. Our amps were overheating. And
by this point, there is like one guy left watching us.
Yes, one of Michelle's friends.
And I don't recall whether or not he was conscious.
Okay.
So I reach down, pull you out of this amp, and jack you into another amp.
Yes.
Causing about a 2 second delay in your
guitar. 2 seconds. It was easily 54 seconds.
I think it was more like
54 seconds of delay.
Five
of nothing.
Tops. I only had to move
me
it
sitting
like
there,
1 foot.
Me sitting there trying to sing with no amplification going through my guitar.
Right.
All right.
I am doing what I believe is a good deed.
And it was probably a good deed.
And you were of the belief that I was committing sabotage against you for a personal reason. would you call that fair?
No, I would not.
Because we stepped into the pool room.
I said.
And proceeded to have an equivocation of epic proportions.
I said, if you unplug me again, I am going to kick your ass. More focus than that.
Sure.
If you ever unplug me again, I'm going to kick your ass. You said,
give it a shot. I don't know.
No,
remember.
No. You said, if you threaten me again, I'm going to rip your throat out.
That was a little too much.
A little confrontational.
I wasn't reading the room. I should have said, I'm sorry, buddy. I was only trying to do a nice thing. That's what I should have said.
Instead, me being reactionary and not having enough to drink.
You hit me with a chair.
And I turned around. There was a chair. I grabbed it by the top. I threw it directly at your head.
Yep.
You ducked. The chair hit you on the forearm.
Yep.
Went out into a window from what I, or at least against the wall.
It hit something, and it was loud.
Yeah.
And Joey and Tim zipped in the room.
Yeah.
Took a hold of you. And zipped you right up.
Good.
Zoop. And I'm standing there.
Michelle and all her people were just embarrassed as hell.
Yep.
And you stood there and said,
what the fuck just happened?
Right.
Now, two things happened at this point.
What?
One, I went camping for 2 weeks and didn't tell anybody I was going.
I moved in with Michelle.
Right.
We didn't talk for a while.
No. But eventually we did, because we just can't quit each other.
It's been 15 years and you haven't been able to... It's been 15 years and you haven't gotten rid of me yet.
Brokeback Mountain.
And then you went camp for 2 weeks. I went live on shelf for 9 months in a nice place. And I just left tearing the kids. I just left them. And I didn't, I gave them as much as I had, which was not very much.
Yeah.
Doing temp work.
Yeah.
And they finally said, we're fed up with you. We're moving to Utah. That'll show me.
Utah.
Well,
yeah, then. Punish me. I came back to Utah to touch base before I moved again.
Yeah.
And I have been here for almost 17 years.
Hey, you want to come over to Missouri?
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on. All the kids are doing it.
It's just barely barely not legal to shoot a Mormon in Missouri. It was like 5 years ago they finally got that law off the books.
And that was the band breaker, almost, until I went to Greeley. I called everybody up and I said, hey, there's this bar. Let's do drug stores
in it.
Yeah. Let's do the Armory. Let's do the Bear. It was called the Bear because of the UNC Bears. And you guys did. You came up.
Yeah.
And I apologized probably a million times. And
probably too many times.
Joey said, probably, and yeah, that's likely.
Yeah.
And then that is me. I killed the forward progress of that band.
No, the Alta Club did.
Oh, yeah. We'll blame the Alta Club.
I'm blaming the Alta Club. They're the ones that had the chair.
Is your arm still sore?
Yes. It still hurts.
It was me. I grab this bag of chaos everywhere I go. I carry it around. It is bottomless. I come out and I pour it upon people.
Like the Sandman.
Chaos. Yes. Except it's glittery. Like the Tooth Fairy.
Like
glittery.
Gaylord Sandman.
I say, here, have some chaos in your life. And not only that, I'll make it worse with my temper.
Okay. Which builds up to... Anyway, so... You're out in Greeley. You're going to school out there.
Yeah. I said, okay,
smells like pig shit.
Cows, because they had the Montfort processing plant.
Right.
And I said, okay, well, what I'm going to do is get a bachelor's degree, and I'm going to get all the student loans I can, and I will pay them back when I sell my first movie.
Oh, yeah.
Good idea, huh?
So you started directing Animal Farm.
Oh, Animal Farm. Okay, Scott was producing that because he had his communist magazine.
That's your brother.
Yeah, my brother Scott. He said, let's produce a production of Animal Farm at the Mercury Cafe. We come back around.
Yeah.
At the Mercury Cafe upstairs. And I said, what an excellent idea. There's some people here at the theater department who are being way overused, and they're really talented, and they're a little edgy, and I think that that's just the kind of thing that this particular production needs. I called the lady at the Mercury, and I said, hey, we're doing Animal Farm. Do you want to run it for a few weekends? And she said, yes. She said, we'll split. And I said, yes, excellent. I said to Scott, okay, I say, well, if you're going to produce, here's what you need to do. You need to get rights. You need to pay the royalties. You need to do the press.
Yes.
And then here's some steps I had, copied from doing press with music and stuff.
Yeah.
Many of our stories, I will take a brief moment.
Good, because I'm about to put a pin in it and come back to something else that was going on at the
Elaborate.
Time.
Elaborate. I will say, many of these stories of ours drive home the fact that I'm just a pestilent dick. I almost made him do a spit take. Woohoo! That's how it is. I try, but it just keeps coming back. Okay, what's your pin? What's your pin in that?
So, round about this time, you're up in Greeley. You and I, we're not really talking all that much.
No.
It was before...
you wrote that novel. I read that novel that you wrote, okay?
Miller's Crossing.
And I thought that... Not Miller's Crossing. Miller's Crossing is a movie.
Miller's Point.
Yes.
Miller's Point, it was called.
Yeah.
It is now called Three Women.
Oh.
So, because there's three women in it.
That's pretty on the nose.
I went to Utah.
Oh, yeah.
And was gone for most of a year.
Yeah.
I spent 6 months living on Johnny's floor.
Oh.
Maybe 4 months.
God bless his mom.
No, his wife.
Oh. Oh, Michelle, thank you. Thank you so much.
She hated me so much. She did not warm up to me until she met my kids years later.
Oh yeah.
So I ended up moving up on top of a bar called the Portico.
Anchors Away. Yeah,
Anchors Away in Portico.
Okay.
I lived upstairs, dated a girl named Mercedes.
Oh yeah.
She was German Chilean.
Inez.
Ilsa. Yeah.
Okay.
And she went by Mercedes.
Okay.
And she's blocked me on Facebook.
Oh.
Like preemptively.
Oh.
Which makes me sad.
Oh.
Because whatever. And that was a very unhealthy relationship, and I stayed there for a little while, and then we broke up for finals, and I moved back to Colorado.
Okay, okay.
I get back to Colorado, I have no fucking idea in the world what to do with my life. So this is when I started to flirt with the military.
Oh, you sure did.
You know?
You had a heavy, overt flirtation going on with many branches of the military.
The Marine Corps.
All right.
So I had talked to the recruiters. I had signed papers. I had deferred entry and was just fucking around, biding my time. One night, very, very late, I don't know if you remember Nate or not. He calls himself Ix now.
Does he?
Yeah. And
yeah, Nate hooked us up one night, and it was right around Animal Farm time too. Mm-hmm. We had tech the next day.
Yeah, I do remember that.
All right.
So anyway, we had rented some videos.
Yes.
Some VHS cassette tapes. It was about 2:33 in the morning, coming on about 2:30, and I took him home, and we had a heart to heart in the car where he's like, "If you join the Marine Corps, I will never talk to you again."
Yeah,
because the military industrial complex, yada yada yada.
Right.
And I'm like, I gotta do what I gotta do.
Right.
And he's like, I'm gonna miss you. And I said, I'll miss you too, pal.
Uh huh.
Anyway, I stop into Good Times Burger to get myself a Good Times Burger because they're open 24 hours.
Yeah.
Got myself the double cheeseburger with bacon. Got the spicy fries. And I'm headed back to...
Oh, Jeff, I'm just getting the willies right now.
Because you know it's coming.
Tell me some more. I know it's coming.
So, and then we got to put a pin in it because I got to run an errand. But, so anyway, I'm driving back home and I cross... I'm on Monaco.
Okay.
And I cross 13th on a green.
Okay.
And a 1972 International Harvester.
That is not true.
3/4-ton farm truck.
That is not true.
No, it was. It was an International. And Harvester might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Okay. A farm truck.
A farm truck. Runs that red light going 70-plus miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
Hits my little Toyota Corolla four-door, my 84 Corolla. Turns it into a motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
Spin flip. Blew out my knee. Elbow, wrist, cracked my head open, and broke my neck in 14 places.
14.
And as the car comes to a halt, my immediate reaction is, car's going to blow up.
Car's going to blow up? Oh, you've seen too many MacGyvers.
Way too many movies. And so I go to get out of the car, and I fall down because my legs don't work.
Oh, okay.
And I can't figure out what's going on. My eyes are really burny. I couldn't tell because I'd cracked my head open. I was covered. I mean, I was literally a sheet of blood. Like
head.
Like Carrie.
Yeah.
From the Stephen King movie.
Original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the truck is idling.
Really?
And this girl gets out and comes over to me and says, "Are you okay?"
Oh,
Jeff. And I said, "No,
we're good.
I don't think that I am.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what's wrong."
Uh-huh.
And some other part of the conversation happened I will never remember. And then I was like, "Hey, I really need your insurance information."
Okay.
And she says, "You have something for me to write on?" And I said, I think so." And I kind of jumbled around the glove box, which was now pretty much near my lap, and pulled out something and handed it to her. Turned out it was a rare collectible X-Files info card.
Oh.
Anyway, so she wrote her insurance information on it, gave it to me, and then walked back to her truck. And she got in and drove it a little ways, and it was making a loud noise. And she came back to me and she said, "Do you have any tools?" And I said, "What?" And she says, the push guard on the front is dragging. "Do you have a crescent wrench or something?" And I said,
this is a fascinating story. I am open mouth. I can't stand this. This is crazy.
I can't move.
Uh-huh.
And I go, I don't have any fucking tools.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay. Like, my legs don't work. I'm bleeding everywhere.
Right.
And you know, parts of me are just really starting to ache a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so she goes and gets in her truck and leaves.
Oh, cold.
20 minutes later.
Yeah.
This fabulous couple pulls over.
Yeah.
These two gentlemen.
Yeah.
With a cell phone.
Yeah. Back in the day when
it was a brick.
Right.
The brick. And they're like, oh, sweetie, should we call 911? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, call 911.
Except you kept saying, I can't afford an ambulance.
Let's call me a cab.
Do not put me an ambulance.
Yep, it's call me a cab.
Right.
I can't afford an ambulance. Not knowing how bad that was going to end up being.
Right.
So the saddest part of this whole night for me, up until this point, was having reached my hand into the bag with the double cheeseburger with bacon.
Yeah.
And having to pull my hand back out because there were all of these glass pieces sticking out.
Oh, Jeff!
And that was like, that was when I started getting emotional about it. I'm like, I'm fucked up and this really sucks. And there's glass in my burger and I can't eat it now. Obviously, I'm not right. Cops show up. What'd you run into? I said, dude, I didn't run into anything. I said, this chick hit me with the car and the car rolled and I can't move my fucking feet. And I don't know what's going on. And the guy's like, come on, just tell me. What did you run into? You run into a pole? I'm like, how would I run into a pole and end up out here in this part of the, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, seriously, think about it. And he's like, you got anything? And I'm like, yeah. She wrote her insurance information on this. And he looks at it and he's like, okay, we'll see what we can do with that.
Uh-huh.
His partner's standing there with him. She's like, can you give me a proof of insurance? This is important because it pops up later.
Yeah. All right.
And I said, I don't know. I can't find anything. I can't really see. And she says, okay. So she's doing something. The cop pulls me out. The ambulance shows up. They put a Philly collar on me.
Uh-huh.
And then strap me to the bench in the back of the ambulance. Not even the bed.
Right.
Somebody already in it.
Oh.
So when the bill came for that ambulance ride at $7,400.
Yeah.
5 miles to Denver General.
Right.
I end up at Denver General. And this is when we find out where Jeff gets his whimsical naming of doctors and nurses.
Yes.
And my first admit nurse, I'm on a hard board. I am taped down.
Uh-huh.
I'm still wearing my leather jacket because I threatened the ambulance driver that if he cut it, I'd cut him.
Oh, yeah?
I'm like, I'm not going to be hurt forever. Don't cut my fucking jacket.
Right.
He's like, okay. So I'm taped down to this board.
Uh-huh.
I have to pee a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But there's no getting up. They won't let me off the board.
Did you let it go?
No, they gave me this weird jar thing that my junk wasn't actually long enough to get in.
Right, properly. Right, right. But, I've seen those.
Yeah. Anyway, so this little nurse comes in and says, we need to check you for internal bleeding.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, do whatever you got to do. And so she starts working on my trousers. And I was like, wait, what do you got to do? And she's like, there's only one way to check for internal bleeding.
Oh.
So they put their finger in your bottom.
I didn't know that.
It is true. And so little tiny hands nurse puts her little finger up my pooper and comes out and says, okay, it doesn't look like there's any internal bleeding. I'm like, that's really good to know. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Several hours later.
Yes.
Nurse Big Hands comes in.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
This is probably not accurate, but in my head, she was like, it's time for us to check for the internal bleeding. And I said, nah-huh. Tiny nurse already did that on the last shift. She says, it was not written down. That means that it's time to check for the internal bleeding.
Oh.
And I felt her knuckles. I mean, she had hands as big as mine. It was, oh. Now, this was something that at the time should have brought me immense joy, but I didn't know how fucked up I was.
Yeah.
That I could still feel below my waist.
Oh, okay.
My legs were not great, but I could still feel shit, which was, that turned out to be important.
Yeah.
So I get the Three Stooges as x-ray techs.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell the rest of that story some other time, but I got punched in the jaw by one of them when his hand let go of the sheet they were carrying me on. And so his hand just flipped up like that, and I'm in the collar and taped down.
Uh-huh.
And it was like pow, and I was like, fucking ow, dude. So if you imagine me sitting on an x-ray table with both of my arms up in the air.
All right.
And one dude on one side, one dude on the other, and they're kind of passing me back and forth and wiggling me and moving me.
Yeah.
And a doctor goes walking by.
Uh-huh.
And I hear his little squeaky squeaks stop. It's like squeak, 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 squeak.
Stop.
Comes back. What the hell are you guys doing?
Oh, no.
And they look at him. They're like, what? And he's like, he's got multiple fractures in his neck. And You're just wiggling him around. Put him down.
Oh.
At which point they both let go of an arm.
Oh, no.
Boom. Oh. And that's how I found out I had broken my neck.
Oh.
I didn't know up until that point. In the meantime, Amy had come.
Uh-huh.
A very good friend, who had been a girlfriend at one point, and just took
good
care
person.
Of me and
good
everything.
Person.
The best.
Yeah.
And I had been crashing with her for a little while because I just made it back to town.
Yeah.
And she ended up taking me in and taking care of me for months until everything just sort of worked as well as it was gonna. I went from a 22-inch neck to a 14-inch neck.
Uh-huh.
While my neck got better.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember that slightly awkward time when I had a giant head and a tiny little...
I do not.
It was rough. So, the car's dead. I get a little bit of money, and the first thing I do is buy a 1972 GMC Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Full size, okay. No roof, because I am never driving in one of them little foreign cars ever again.
All right.
Look what it did to me. I am
you
still wearing...
spellbinding. You are a tailspinner. You got the gift of gab.
So I'm still in my collar when you call up for Animal Farm.
Oh, Animal Farm. Oh, there we are. Okay.
So I'm driving this gigantic truck that blows this huge cloud behind me back and forth to Greeley. It was only a few times, as I recall.
It was enough.
Because I was doing tech for you.
Yeah.
And
why would you do that? Why would you get into my vibe? Why would you allow yourself? Oh, okay.
Was there a girl named Amanda?
I see, it all comes clear to me now.
My brain says there was a girl named Amanda.
Oh yeah.
And that was when I found out that I love summer dresses. Because we were in this dark ass coffee shop.
Yes. Margie's.
Yes.
Java Joint.
And the bells on the door rang, and we looked over, and it was bright outside and dark inside.
Uh-huh.
And Amanda stepped through. I think you guys called her Manda.
Brassy. Can I say that?
I don't think so.
All right.
So she stepped in the door and was very brightly backlit by the sunshine, and she was wearing a sundress and nothing else.
And you said, I'm going to do this show.
No, but I was just like, oh my God, that is one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in my entire life. And I have seen the sunrise over Bryce Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I just remember that. It's just a memory I have of that time together. But no, I liked it in Animal Farm. You know, it's I didn't realize how much that was going to turn into life in general.
Okay, we're going to have to come back to Animal Farm. We're going to have to come back to it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We're at an hour five.
Dude.
We haven't made it out of Animal Farm.
Animal Farm was bad.
We got
it out of the Alta. We got out of the Alta and the
we
Bad
the
Breaker. Yeah. And then we got the Michelle, Darla. We got all that done. We are productive.
So we can do a commercial and then another half an hour. Or we can do a part four later.
Oh, well, I think we're sometimes chatty.
Yeah.
We shall do a part four.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it for part three, guys. I got a broken neck. We're doing Animal Farm in Greeley, Colorado that smells like horse shit all the time. And you can smell it from so far out of town.
That's true.
It was
that's
really
true.
Bad. And I built some set pieces for you.
Yes.
I remember.
And we painted a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Yep.
I have no memory as to whether or not there was actually a show.
We'll have to...
We'll get back to that?
We'll have to get back to that.
Stay tuned for part four.
Oh, shit.
kiss me. And how she takes my breath away, pretending that she don't miss me.